The Bible reading this afternoon is from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 15 to 28. The reading is on page 1205. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And like the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his precious word.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming back this week. This is our third talk as we've gone through Hebrews, and we've gone to look at this man called Melchizedek. I've called this talk The Best High Priest Possible, because to use the language of Hebrews, there is nobody better than Jesus. Jesus is the best. Let me ask you this. When you have a fall, or you graze yourself, or you cut yourself, what do? You put a plaster over it, don't you? Yeah, just like that. You put a plaster over it. Yeah. But sometimes you put a plaster over it and it doesn't heal. What do you do then? You see, the plaster is only a temporary fix. You might need something more, some further treatment. If the cut is infected or if it doesn't heal, then you'll need permanent treatment. Or use this example. Perhaps at home, your tap drips. So what do? You do what I did the other week. You unscrew it and turn over the washer and screw it back up again. It seems to work again. But it's only a temporary fix. What you really need is a new washer or a new cartridge. Now, we often do this. We often do temporary fixes. But we all know that one day we will need a permanent fix. The Old Testament is full of what we call types or pictures. There were kings and priests. There were sacrifices and tabernacles, even a temple. But they were only temporary fixes. Hebrews tells us that the permanent fix, the one that we all need, the one fix to fix everything, where no other fixes are needed, is the person of Jesus. So take, for example, what we call the Levitical priests, the line from Aaron. They were human like us. And like us, they died. So much so that the sacrifices required had to be repeated regularly. And the priests were only able to give a temporary fix. What was needed was an eternal priest, one who never died, who could truly fix things. That's what verse 23 tells us, if you wouldn't mind turning over to there. Hebrews 7:23. Now, since there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. All priests die, we learn. Death prevented them from continuing in office. But there was another priest. Not Jesus for the moment. There was a priest that he's been talking about called Melchizedek, whom David called a priest forever. A priest who had no beginning and no end. Now, when Jesus comes to earth, he acts like a priest. But he's not from the line of Aaron. He's not a Levite. They were temporary fixes. Jesus is going to be the permanent fix. He's going to be a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. That's what verse 17 says, doesn't it? Look at verse 17 with me. For it is declared, this is Psalm 110, David declares it, you, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And God gave reassurance of this by an oath. You see that in 21. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, earlier in Psalm 110. You are a priest forever. This means that God will keep to what he has said, namely that just as Melchizedek was a priest forever, so Jesus will have a permanent priesthood. That was the phrase in 24, wasn't it? He has a permanent priesthood because he lives forever. So on the basis of God's oath, a priest forever, Jesus can guarantee what is called a better covenant, the end of 22. Because of the oath, because of what God has promised in Melchizedek, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. It means that God has staked his reputation. God has staked his character. God has staked his credibility on all this being true. He gave an oath. The old covenant was based on law, included Levitical priests. But the eternal covenant is a better one because it's an eternal one. It has a far better hope and a far better high priest. And we today live after Jesus came to earth. We are new covenant people. We have a forever priest in Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews bangs this home. It repeats it and it repeats it and it repeats it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Repetition is the mother of learning. Repetition is because those who cannot remember the past are usually condemned to repeat it, we're told. And that's true for these young Jewish believers who received this letter. They were tempted to give up on Jesus. They wanted to go back to something more tangible, something more vibrant in their Judaism. And I think there's a temptation for us too, isn't there? We need regular reminders that Jesus is our essential connection with God. And that without Jesus acting for us and standing in for us, we could never be at peace with God, or even for that matter, at peace with ourselves. Well, look how Hebrews expresses that truth. Oh, that's my introduction, by the way. Look how Hebrews expresses the truth. Here's the first point. Jesus is the eternal priest. He rescues us completely. Look at 23 to 25. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Forgive me for repeating it, but repetition is essential, isn't it? All human priests die. Jesus has this permanent priesthood. He lives forever. So he can save completely. Why? Because he is eternal. Because he is alive in glory. That's where he intercedes for his people. He prays for us. He acts for us. He's our Mr. Fix-It. Now, don't most of us as human beings need someone to come alongside us and help us? When we travel to another country, for example, and we don't understand how things work, we need a Mr. Fix-It. I was once in America for 3 months, and I wanted to buy a car. I was lost without a friend. A friend like a Mr. Fix-It, who showed me how to tax the car, where to buy insurance, and so on. Very helpful. Similarly, with reference to God, we need someone to please our cause before the Father. Someone who can assure the Father that he's fixed everything. That we're on speaking terms with the Father. We're friends. Jesus is our man. He's our Mr. Fix-It. He fixes things by his unique death and resurrection. He did so once when he died and rose again. And he continues to make that work effective in our lives from glory, where he intercedes and prays for his people. You see, we humans cannot fix human nature. We can make temporary fixes. All humans make mistakes. We can patch them up a little bit. But we do wrong. We cannot control ourselves. We need a Mr. Fix-It. And Jesus is that man. He's our eternal high priest who's able to save completely. Why? Because he always lives to make intercession for us. So Jesus is presented to us as the eternal priest, the one who can save completely. But notice in verse 25, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. It's only those who come to God through Jesus that he rescues. To save is to rescue, to restore, to make new, to give access to remove the sin-death barrier. And all the time, Jesus is up there in glory. He's interceding for us. And this salvation work that he achieved at Calvary, he's applying to us day by day. Let me ask you, have you taken hold of it? Is Jesus your eternal priest? Has he rescued you completely? Jesus is the eternal priest. He rescues completely. Secondly, verse 26. Jesus is the perfect priest. He gives security. Look at 26. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is, look at this description, holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. That's a brilliant description, isn't it? You can't get higher than that, can you? Holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. In other words, the writer is showing us the purity of our Lord Jesus. He is perfect in his attributes. What a man. No other priest, no other holy man comes close to Jesus, our high priest, our great high priest, do they? He is perfect, absolutely perfect. You can't get better than Jesus Christ, can you? No wonder he says in 26, he truly meets our need. He truly meets our need. We all need a perfect one to represent us because we're imperfect. We need a man who will speak up for us in heaven's court. Someone who we listen to because of his perfection, not because of ours. And in his perfect state As the perfect God-man, Jesus acted on our behalf. You see, he gives us therefore eternal security. He satisfies the Godhead fully, and he draws alongside us at the same time. Isn't it amazing kindness that Jesus would do that? How secure can we be? No more secure than this, in Christ. Jesus is the perfect priest. He gives us security. Thirdly, Jesus is the supreme sacrifice. He connects us with God. Let's put the third heading up, if we may, please. Thank you. Jesus is the supreme sacrifice. He connects us with God. Look at verse 27. Unlike the other high priests, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins, this wonderful Hebrew phrase, once for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, the promise, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Excuse me, let me just have a sip of water and stop coughing all over the place. All priests are sinners, sinners in themselves. So they need to bring a sacrifice, first for their own sins, and then for those of the people. Jesus didn't. He didn't need to bring a sacrifice. Why? He had no sin. In fact, he himself in his body became the sacrifice for us. That is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? You don't have to bring a lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Look at 27 again. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself.
Thank you.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? Absolutely brilliant. Notice that once for all. That means he's done all that's required. No repeats are needed. No more sacrifices. No more priests are needed. He's the ultimate, the perfect priest, the man for all seasons and all times. His one sacrifice at Calvary is eternally effective. That, by the way, is why we do not need temples or special buildings today to worship in. Any building is suitable. That's why we don't need priests today or any human being to step in between us and God. We have Jesus. We have Jesus who connects us directly to God. We have Jesus whatever our circumstances. Many years ago, in the 80s, there was a song by Graham Kendrick that went like this. For the joys and for the sorrows, I think it's on next, is it? For the joys and for the sorrows, he said, the best and worst of times, for this moment, for tomorrow, for all that lies behind, fears that crowd around me, for the failure of my plans, for the dreams of all I hope to be, the truth of what I am. For this, he says, I have Jesus. He repeats it. For this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. That's right, isn't it? We have Jesus. There's no one better. There's no one who can stand before the Father as a perfect advocate and plead our cause. In his own body, he is the ultimate sacrifice. By dying on the cross, he removes the death penalty hanging over us. He takes the punishment that our sins deserve. And what's more, he constantly stands alongside us as our advocate, as our intercessor. You just can't beat perfection, can you? Jesus is the perfect, supreme sacrifice. And therefore, the conclusion I had earlier, Jesus is always better. He's better than all the Old Testament priests and temples and types. And verse 28 is really the summary, isn't it? Look at that. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weaknesses, but the oath, the one that was given to Melchizedek, which came after the law in Psalm 110, appointed the Son who has been made perfect in every way. The oath is the promise that Jesus is the priest forever. By the way, this oath is important to Hebrews. If you want to just trace it through with me for a moment, we've looked at it over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Just come with me to the end of chapter 6. Look at 6:16 and 6:18, towards the end of chapter 6. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Or 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. It's picked up again at 7:20. See that? Our passage. It was not without oath. It's repeated in 7:22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. And it's repeated here in 28. See the way oath is used in these passages? The law appoints as high priests men in all their weaknesses. But the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son. You are a son forever in the order of Melchizedek. He's been made perfect forever. So the oath, you see, is a guarantee of a better covenant. The oath establishes Jesus as the high priest forever. Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. The oath is God swearing that Melchizedek is our forever priest. There was no oath with the Levitical priesthood. It was just by birth. The oath is the guarantee. And we love our guarantees, don't we? I don't know if you've been looking around for a new car recently. I wonder if you would go to that company which offers you the longest guarantees. There is one firm which has a 7-year guarantee on their cars. It's done very well for the company, the long guarantee. Other companies are only offering a 1 or 2 year guarantee. But God's guarantee is a forever guarantee. A forever guarantee. Jesus is the ultimate priest. He surpasses all other priests. He's the very best priest there is and always will be. Why? Because he's a permanent fixer. That's why we don't need special buildings. It's why we don't need special priests. It's why we don't need special rituals. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. He's the best priest, the best sacrifice, the best temple, the best advocate possible. All the Old Testament types point towards him. So the question on our thoughts this afternoon, have we got Jesus? Does he live within you by his Spirit? Has his death become your death? Is his resurrection your resurrection hope? Are you connected to God through Jesus Christ as your great and perfect eternal high priest? And if you are, is he really the central figure in your life? And if you follow him, you know, you'll have great satisfaction. You'll have tremendous peace. You'll have an eternal hope. You'll have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's quite a list, isn't it? Because Jesus is just the man we need, because he is so perfect and stands in for us before the Father, we cannot keep this good news to ourselves, can we? We need to tell our family and our friends, don't we? He is exalted above the heavens. Did you see that in the middle of 26? Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. If he is exalted above the heavens, shouldn't we exalt him here on earth? We do that when we gather together like this. We do that when we sing our songs in our corporate worship and pray. We do that in our personal prayers. And we do that when we talk of him with our friends and neighbours. In the Old Testament, imperfect priests were often appointed. But God has, according to verse 28, appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. This is huge reassurance for us. We are safe for all eternity. We do not need further religious paraphernalia. No more priests, no more temples. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. He is sufficient. He is perfect. He's the best. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for clearing the way for us to meet with your Father. Indeed, to know God personally, to be assured of his love and his forgiveness, is all down to you. It's so good that you are our permanent priest. You stick with us, whatever the circumstances. You pray for us, whatever we feel, whether we're up or whether we're down. We want to tell you today that you really, really are the best. And please help us to share all good things that we have discovered with our friends and neighbours. Because we pray in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.